This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Buehr has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. We are here in studio. We haven't been in studio together forever, and Brock immediately broke the studio. It took you not more than 5 seconds to break the studio. How did you do that? What are you going to do? All right, let me try to help
you. No, you talk.
Oh, my God. Look at yourself, man. Somebody get in here and help Brock. We've got an emergency.
Fix this.
This is a complete disaster.
Right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is worse than Felix last night. All right,
are you just trying to tell us that you've been working out, Brock?
It wasn't
we get
that bad. It wasn't as bad as Felix last night. Let's not get carried away. That was truly unwatchably terrible.
This is a great watch on the stream. Not as good of a listen, but pretty good watch.
Well,
on the stream.
We're trying to help out. Give it a rest back there,
Mike. That was a disaster, and I can't believe that his manager just made him wear that last night. I think a lot of people in baseball, I'm going to guess a lot of the old guys around baseball, the John Smoltzes of the world that we've talked to plenty of times, who has said to us, oh, Felix can still do it. Felix is great. Felix has got a track record in all of this. Felix had to wear that last night. Danny O'Neill, I think, tweeting last night and saying it was the saddest thing that he's watched in Seattle sports. To see one of the legends, to see one of the greats to ever do it in this town, last night just have absolutely nothing. And instead of being pulled, instead of being taken care of, instead of after, you know, the home run that Seager's air allows and it's 8 runs, he's going to be done. He has got to march back out there and give up home run after home run. A guy that gave us his prime when this team was bad is unfortunately now watching a team that's good and his years are in the past.
It's so hard because this is one of those issues where there really are two sides to this. And the so many fans, not everybody, but a lot of fans are going to view it exactly that way. This is so sad. Felix did everything for this organization. He stayed when no one else did. He's ours and you can't have him. I mean, there is so much wrapped up in Felix Hernandez and what he means that it's really challenging not to look at it and be sentimental about what could have been with Felix Hernandez. At the same time, he's the same guy that did not work hard during those years to prepare for these ones. He's the same guy that did not really buy in when everybody else was buying into what Scott Servais was doing when he first got here. And he's the same guy who right now is not fit to be in the starting rotation while a team is competing to be in a playoffs for the first time in 17 years. And if you're Scott Servais, yeah, you made him wear it last night. And I don't know, maybe it was personal, maybe not. But you can certainly make the baseball argument for it that it was the right thing to do. I'm sorry, we went 12 innings last night. You're the fifth guy in this rotation who's maybe not going to be in it anymore. And you're just going to have to wear it for the sake of the baseball team. It's not personal. I'm not trying to make you look bad. We just need a pitcher right now.
We got 8 more days of this road trip.
And their long reliever right now isn't even on the roster because Rowenis Elias is hurt. So, I mean, Chasen Bradford, I think you actually use occasionally when you need him. I don't think he had any interest in using him in mop-up duty yesterday. So, yeah, I'm not sure they had much of a choice yesterday but to keep Felix Hernandez in for the full 6 innings. On the other hand, could it have been personal? Sure. I mean, like, you know, if you're the Mariners and you're looking for a clear-cut way to end the Felix Hernandez era, yesterday gave you about as clean a break as you could possibly need. He was awful. He gave up 11 runs, 7 of them earned, a couple of long bombs, 3 of them, and tweaked his ankle in the process, which gives you a nice, easy way to DL him and end this thing. So that's Felix Hernandez yesterday. Scott Servais asked about him after the game.
Got off to a decent start. You know, I thought the walks hurt him a little bit tonight. Again, 2 or 3 leadoff walks tonight. Those guys, you know, came around to score. You know, I thought we were off to a good start in the game. Just it turned on us. You know, they got power. You know, in this ballpark, if you leave balls up, you make mistakes, and you pay the price.
Yeah, he left balls up. He made mistakes.
You know, we'll see. You know, you have to have, just take a look at where we're at going forward here. You know, I think the next time that spot comes around, you know, we'll be over in Houston. They've also got a good club, so you know, we've got to give ourselves a chance every time out there to win the ball game. It's tough to win.
I'll be honest. Okay, I'll just kind of pour it out here because you were right yesterday when you said you want it clear. Just be clear cut. Don't be in between. Just either be good Felix, maybe keep earning another turn, or just be so bad that it is so obvious that you're done. And I totally logically get that, right? I do. It's like parenting sometimes.
Yeah.
Or managing or whatever. Or relationships, friendship. There's probably a gazillion analogies. Oh, yeah, on paper, this looks really good. This is awesome. This is exactly what I want. And then when it happens and you walk through it, you just get so emotionally torn. Because this guy was so great. He has been so much to this organization. He poured out so much of his career. Yet his timing just could not be worse. That when he was at his best, the organization, you could argue, was at its worst. And here he is with the organization, I think, foundationally in one of the better places it's ever been, and he just can't do it anymore. And then to watch him, you know, in front of the media scrum there yesterday, right, in front of Ryan and Shannon, and to hear all of those folks responding, I've never seen him like this.
I mean, what I can say, I can't say anything about it. Just one of those things. Yeah, man, I'm frustrated. What can I say?
And he's frustrated and then forced to recount in great detail each of the home run pitches.
The home runs looked like they were off-speed pitches. Like you said, just bad location on those pitches.
Well, Beltre home was a curveball. Odor was a fastball. Who's the other one? Curveball, yeah. I was up in the middle too.
Yeah, he couldn't even remember all the home runs that were hit off of him last night. And you know, on one hand, it is sad. But as I said, I did a radio hit earlier today. The other thing you notice when you watch the video of that is just how puffy his face looks.
Yeah.
He does not look like Felix Hernandez. He looks like he's in worse shape than Bartolo Colon, who was on the other side of the mound for him.
Who's 13 years old.
And I'm sorry, man. Like
45 years of age.
I'm going to struggle with the emotional part of this today. I know that a lot of people are, that's what they're going to feel, the emotional sadness about the end of Felix. I'll try to get there with you. I really will, because I sympathize and I understand why you feel that way. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I don't feel that way. I saw a guy that didn't put in the work for the last 5 to 10 years and now is getting racked because of it at the age of 31. I see a guy who's been making $25 million a year for the last few years and isn't worth it. I appreciate that he stayed when he could have gone. You know what else happened, though? He got paid a tremendous amount of money to do so, every bit as much as he would have gotten in Boston, New York, or anywhere else. So I get it. I do. I really am going to try today to understand the emotional connection to Felix Hernandez.
Mm.
I don't have it right now. I'm mad at him. Like I don't. I can come back and feel emotional later,
mm-hmm.
but right now I'm mad. I'm mad that he's not pulling his considerable weight to help this team get to the playoffs. For the last 2 years, every year really that he's been here, Scott Servais has said, "Well, it depends what Felix does." And every year that Servais has been here, Felix has done bupkis. He's looked worse and worse progressively in each of those years and apparently has done less and less off the field to try to fix that.
Right.
So I'm not going to sit here and feel any great sadness or sympathy. I'm going to go back and say, yeah, we have Felix and you can't have him, crew. I'm sorry. You should have let somebody else have him. It would have been better if they had traded Felix for prospects at the height of his powers.
Yeah.
Now, Jack Zarensic probably would have screwed up what he got back in return. That's a side note. But I don't know that you can make too big an argument that it worked out well with Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, I just wonder if that's going to be at all a shared thought.
It probably will not be.
10% of the audience, right, that understands that maybe he has not done everything that you wanted him to do. And frankly, I think that skipper last night allowing him to wear some of that, and really the way that he's treated many of these press conferences following his starts, are about as clear an indicator. Okay, baseball is a game of signs and fake shakes. Okay, we have learned that over the years.
You take care of me, and I'll take care of you.
Yeah,
you burn me, and I'll burn you right back.
It's nuance. It's subtleties. It is not just black and white. They try to live in the gray. As a manager over 162 games and all of these years, and as hard as that game is, Scott's been pretty clear the last couple months of his frustration, right, with Felix. He's not been defending him left and right. He's not giving him every single out. And last night, he certainly didn't in what appears to be his final start of the season.
Yeah, I think you'd be surprised. I think there are actually a pretty considerable group of people that agree with me on this one. And it's not going to be 75%, but I'm just looking at the text messages here, Brock. I wholeheartedly agree with Salk. I'm sympathetic to Salk. Salk, I'm with you. Couldn't agree more.
Mm.
He did enough for this organization when no one else did. He doesn't know as anything as the other side. Agree with Salk. Bingo, Salk. Salk's totally right. I think there's a lot of people out there who are mad and want this organization to win. Loyalty's great up to a point. I want them to be loyal, and I want them to run the type of business that we would all like to run. But the goal is to win, not to be nice to Fifi. 710, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Well, last night in Texas may very well end up being the final start of Felix Hernandez's career, at least in a Mariners uniform. Allowed 11 runs, 7 of them earned. Kyle Seager didn't exactly help him out with some terrible defense last night and was left in the game to mop up through 6 very difficult-to-watch innings. Gave up the 3 home runs, including one to his buddy Adrian Beltre after striking him out early. Mariners lose 11-4. Only good news on this night, well, two pieces. One, they're only 2 games behind Oakland as the A's ended up losing as well. And then maybe long-term, this is kind of what Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto needed. They needed a clear sign, and this just makes it very simple. Felix turned his ankle. If you want to put him on the DL, it becomes very easy to do, and he can save face that way. And at the same time, they get to move on and go ahead with another starting pitcher now moving forward.
I'll be very surprised, borderline shocked, if Felix gets a turn again in this starting rotation. As long as this Mariners team is in contention and in a playoff push, he is just spent. There's no gas in the tank. It was John Morosi yesterday who rattled off stat after stat that he just can't give you 100 pitches. He can't give you quality innings. He can't give you those quality starts that he did, and he was so much more than that. And that's why I'm just torn emotionally. Because I really do believe he gave us his prime. The prime years when this Mariners organization was just so bad. And it is now turned, and unfortunately he's on the other side of it with just no game, no command, no velo, and no opportunity to succeed. And that is hard to watch.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
It was nice to talk to Pete Carroll yesterday. Said he absolutely expects Doug Baldwin to be on the field week one in Denver, so that's good news. Deion Jordan, maybe a little bit more puzzling and troubling. Sounds like he's very questionable to be ready by the start of the season. Also said that J.R. Sweezy got dinged up last week. Thought in general, though, that Pete was in really good spirits. I thought Pete seemed to be enjoying the teaching process of it, seemed to be enjoying where his team was at. And things, I got the impression anyway, that they might be able to surprise a few people, that they might sneak up on a league that thinks they're down, thinks that they don't have the talent anymore. And I think he likes the idea of a group that may all be pulling in the same direction instead of one that is top-heavy.
Yeah, I think that's all very fair. Pete was juiced with us. He's always energized. But I think yesterday I felt a guy that was in all parts from a coaching perspective, as teacher of a coaching staff, of out there working the fundamentals with young players, that is not emotionally drained. Scott Servais is emotionally drained. Felix is emotionally and physically drained. He is spent. And on the other side of it is a team that is energized with a youthful exuberance who just wants to run and hit, who frankly I think has so many young guys they can't wait to learn about, and they don't have to wait much longer. A little over 24 hours, they will kick off preseason game number 1 in the Sunshine against the Indianapolis Colts. And I don't think the head coach could be any more excited about it.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, UW ranked number 4 in the nation in Sports Illustrated's preseason poll, which came out yesterday. They were also, number 5 in the ESPN poll that we saw. Huskies' week 1 opponent Auburn came in ranked number 8. So this is going to be an enormous matchup week 1 on September 1st between the Huskies and Auburn. It's a neutral location, but it's not. I mean, this is an away game for the Huskies. They go to Atlanta, which is only a couple of hours from Auburn, and obviously is all the way across the country from here. I really hope that Jake Browning is up for this task. I know that secondary is going to be ready. I think the defense in general will be ready for an SEC offense. I really would like to see whether or not Myles Gaskin, who came back for another year, and Jake Browning, who was given a final shot here to be the quarterback of this team, have enough for an SEC defense, including one that's ranked in the top 10.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated has Washington at number 4. ESPN stats guys, their power rankings have them at number 5. Eventually, when the AP and the coaches poll comes out, you're going to find Washington and Auburn both in the top 10. Ran into a guy the other day that was disappointed. So I'm disappointed game day is not going to be there. You know, I figured it's a top 10 matchup.
Why
game
not?
Day is decided to be at Michigan at Notre Dame.
That's,
I mean, two
good
blue bloods. Yes.
Yeah,
it's
a bit of a history there.
And on a campus versus in a professional stadium in a Chick-fil-A kickoff game. I think it makes sense for game day being there. I also know that our stat guys and our computers over there at ESPN in our seminar last week kicked out the 5 biggest games when it comes to the eventual playoffs. Just looking at the 5 biggest games over the course of the entire season, as far as how it will impact the eventual playoff, 4 teams, and this Husky-Auburn game, absolutely, actually number 4 out of the top 5 of all games to be played this season.
All right, those are three things you need to know every morning at 7:10. Man, this might be the thing I've ever said that people seem to agree with me the most on the text machine, and I'm surprised. I didn't know that it would be there. I don't mean to be callous about Felix Hernandez. I mean, I get it. I really do understand the connection between him and the fans. It's disappeared over the last 3 years. You've been faking it. Everyone's been faking it.
Kind of a little bit like the Seahawk fanfare the last couple years.
It's been, but worse. You've been going out to the King's Court chanting K and knowing that he doesn't have the ability to strike anybody out. It's been sad. It's been a sham. It hasn't been what it was supposed to be. The king had no clothes.
Well, Father Time wins.
Well, but this is not Father Time. He's 31.
His arm is 41.
Well, why? How much work has he done to build it up? Has he done everything he needs to do in the offseason? There's been no indication of that. Short of the, 2 weeks he spent with Iron Glenn, we haven't seen anything close to that. Let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
If you want to take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Every morning at 7:15.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus. A wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
I'm doing well. Better than Felix.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? That's kind of
bad.
What'd you think of watching his post game?
I didn't see the post game. I was on a plane.
He doesn't sound great. I say sounds a little sad.
Well, he should be. I mean, he's pretty. Can they even start him again?
No, they cannot.
I agree. Now, how do they handle it?
Well, he gave you a great out yesterday. Of all the things that happened in last night's game, the best thing that happened from the Mariners' perspective is that Felix tweaked his ankle running over to cover first base again. Every time he runs over to first base or to pick up a bunt, he hurts something. I wonder why. It's almost like he's not in the best shape he could be in. But he tweaked his ankle, and they had the trainers come out. He stayed in the game. If he woke up this morning and that ankle was
swollen,
really swollen, just feeling very sore, that would be about the perfect.
And what
way
about
for this
that back? That back has to be bad too.
Both things. I mean, just go right to the DL.
The back, the ankle.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yeah. If Erasmo Ramirez is ready, don't you get the feeling that 10-day DL for Felix and then Erasmo?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely what can and should happen here. Hey, we're gonna get to see some actual football here on Thursday night. You think Russell's gonna play a lot?
No. No, I would imagine at the very best it's going to be one series, maybe two series at the most, but no. I mean, like most quarterbacks. Now, it's going to be different with Andrew Luck because Andrew hasn't played in like 600 days and has missed so much time that I can anticipate that he's going to be able to be out there for maybe a quarter. But for Russell, no, you don't want to put him out there too long. Most starting quarterbacks aren't in that vein and, still not, I think so, one or two series at the most.
Do you have any expectations of what you want to see with this crew tomorrow night?
I think, first I want to see if there's any kind of pass rush. I mean, because we haven't been able to really see the starters. Frank Clark's been fighting that hand injury, no Deion Jordan. So I want to see where they are and who can step up and rush the quarterback. I definitely want to see how they sort out the young receivers because they've got a lot of speed, a lot of question marks, and a lot of guys that haven't caught passes. So I want to see David Moore. I want to see Marcus Johnson. I want to see that whole group. Definitely want to take a look to see, how Trey Flowers, who's getting a little bit more time than anticipated, how he can do. So, it's more the young guys that you want to see in that first preseason game.
And how many times did you see Hard Knocks last night? You watched it 2, 3, 4 times? I know your affinity for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, but remember, I was on a plane, so I was not able to be able to see anything. Oh. So I had to, I got the record on, so at some point, maybe after practice today, I'll be able to watch.
Well, you're going to hear Jarvis Landry drop 92 F-bombs in 90 seconds. I think it was
for the record.
Yeah, I think he ended up breaking the record.
He challenged Dennis Leary for the F-bomb record.
Yes. Or like Lou Piniella or Dallas Green.
Yeah, a couple of guys who belong on that. Has Hard Knocks lost some of its luster for you
Probably.
Guys?
Probably. Well, when you start to get to the Cleveland Browns, you definitely start to lose some luster.
Forgetting about the fact that it's the Browns, for the last few years, it's just felt like, sort of like we were talking about earlier with Felix or like at times with the Seahawks last year. It's like we're running this thing back out there every single year and there's still some value to it. It's not bad, but it doesn't have the same excitement level that it did in the first few years.
No, and I think it's the teams that you get. I mean, because what they do is they take the tact, if you haven't been in the playoffs for 2 years in a row or you've got a new coach, then now you qualify for Hard Knocks. And, if you don't volunteer to do it, then we'll come in and we'll grab you and you have to do it. So I think in that way. Because, again, you're getting the bad teams for the most part. You know, I thought Tampa Bay was okay. But, yeah, it's kind of lost a little bit of its luster. But I still like it because it gives you a lot of insight that you're not normally going to be able to pick up. I know sometimes you're able to pick up a lot of things from the scouting stuff that you're not able to see. So I think that's a good thing. But it has lost, I think, a little bit of the luster, but not the whole luster.
Richie Incognito going to get a workout anywhere?
Not in Minnesota, I guess, because when he tweets out that the Vikings are working him out or have some interest, and next thing you know, the coach says there's no way. I get the feeling that Richie is going to be incognito in Minnesota.
Set up very well for that. All right, injuries here for the Seahawks. Pete was saying yesterday that Doug should be ready for the regular season, and he didn't really want to answer my question about Regenikine. I forgot. Maybe he didn't talk about that last year, but you think Doug's in the circle of trust for Regenikine?
Probably, okay. Yeah. Because, so when you see him and you have the sleeve on there and there seems to be no panic, he probably did get that type of treatment.
And then Deion Jordan and J.R. Sweezy. Sweezy should be back in a couple of days. Probably not a surprise for a guy that's had the injury history he has. And Deion Jordan just sort of remains out there as this great white whale. How many games do you think he can play this year?
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I mean, because remember, it was supposed to be about 2 weeks, and guess what? We are at the two-week mark, and he's not anywhere closer to being on the field. That's a big concern. Because, I mean, here's a guy that they're anticipating can be the starter. I think they were counting on to be the starter. He only played about 183 plays last year, and now you don't know when he's going to be back. So, to me, that's probably the injury of major concern right now.
Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
If you could extend your life by 10 years by spending 24 hours a year in a bed of snakes, would you do it?
I guess, because, again, you want to continue to live. I mean, you don't know when that end is going to come.
Might come on that bed of snakes.
Yeah, it could end on that. Well, first off, you haven't described what kind of snakes they are. If they're like
what kind of snakes are they?
They would be large and small, all non-poisonous, and none of them would constrict you to death.
Yeah, would it look like that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as long as they're not like got little things that can sting into you, I guess maybe there's a chance you can try to do it. And I guess it's a bad trade-off because you don't want to be in any kind of snake pit, but I guess 10 years is 10 years, and as long as you got cable and you're able to do the database, and I'm okay with that.
John, it's a great day. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We're a couple days away from Seahawks football. No, one John
day.
Clayton.
One day. We're on the eve.
Yes.
Era of Seahawks football, we call it. John, no show today, but we'll catch you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Early Mariners game today, by the way. M's taking on Texas in the finale here. It's an 11:05 start, which means the pregame show gets underway at 10 o'clock. Chance to win the series here today.
Nice to win a series.
ESPN Seattle. Yeah, it really will. Especially against that team stinks. Come on. Yeah. You got to go find a way to
5-1, Giovanni Gallardo. Though.
Can we, is that who it is?
Giovanni Gallardo. Maybe 6-1.
It's Marco actually. Against Gallardo.
Yes.
That's a game you should win.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it right now. That's one. Liddy, can we say that's one you should win? Marco versus Gallardo. Is that a fair?
Every game's a game you should win.
This is one I think you'd like to put on, put a little extra pressure on. Like, why don't you go ahead and win when it's Marco versus Gallardo? Can we open up the lines here? We had some other stuff planned, but I just seeing a lot of the emotion in your text, I'd like to open up our phones and just kind of go through this with you guys a little bit. How do you feel last night watching Felix Hernandez? Is it emotional for you? Do you feel, a sense of sadness or anger at the organization for wasting his prime? Do you feel more a sense of anger at Felix for not being up to snuff? Is it very simple? Hey, I want my team to win and he's no longer helping, so out of the way. How do you feel and react watching what happened last night? Felix Hernandez hung out there to dry to just soak up the loss, gives up 11 runs, 7 of them earned in just 6 innings, the worst start of his career, and it may be the last. How'd it make you feel? 206-421-3776 next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
All right, Brock and Salk, here on 710 ESPN, Seattle phone lines. Kind of a buzz this morning at 206-421-3776. Is tonight the first Pearl Jam show?
The home show?
One of two or three? Is it just two? Tonight and tomorrow? It's not right to have my awful voice talk over. How many people out there have seen Eddie Vedder at like a karaoke joint in Seattle? I think everyone I know has some sort of story about seeing Eddie Vedder at a karaoke bar.
I've seen him in West Seattle because reportedly that's where he makes
he
his
lives
home.
There, yeah.
And I've seen him at Easy Street Records.
Oh.
It's pretty much the coolest moment of my life.
He's just
all downhill from there.
Going through like used CDs, like looking for something to buy.
Yeah, probably.
That's
of course.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He's like, I wonder if they have any copies of 10. Let's see.
Can we just listen to a couple of those songs rather than have this?
No, we got to have this talk. Man, Felix got bombed last night. He did. Let's be clear. And I think this text message here is probably one of the best we've gotten that said, I feel great after last night because of one word, closure. We don't owe Felix anything. He's been and will continue to get paid. He's got to step aside, and perhaps the rest of this team can carry him to the playoffs this time. Yeah, I think I tend to agree with that. It's time probably for Felix to step aside. He's not going to do it willingly. They're going to have to bump him here out of the rotation, but it's time. And last night, I think, gave you a lot of closure so that you're not wondering. You're not. There's no what if.
Do you find your opinion muted when it comes to baseball topics at all just because they mute everything? Or do you find it the other way? Because you may have some intel, you may have more background, and while they have to be muted, you feel like I can be the mouthpiece for so much of that.
No, I never,
I'm not asking that like even personally.
No, I don't
with the Mariners.
That. But you're, I mean, I think you're right.
I find myself probably muting my baseball stuff just because that is what they do. They never just come out and say the guy can't play anymore. You know, my Mike Blowers never is just as black and white as I'll be
well,
on a football
Very little
broadcast.
Is actually black and white in baseball. Look, here's the reality of the situation. If there is a chance Felix figures out how to pitch like this, I don't think it'll happen here in Seattle. I think there is too much wrapped up in his time here. Mm. But yes, it's possible that you DFA or trade Felix this offseason. He goes to Atlanta. He works with a different pitching coach. Something clicks for him, and he figures out how to elongate his career. That is possible. Everyone should start dealing with the reality that could happen.
Freddie Garcia.
It's not going to happen here. Yeah. I feel pretty strongly about that. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Josh, who is in University Place. Josh, how do you feel today?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I would say I used to feel kind of like you, mad at Felix for not changing the way he pitches and figuring it out for us. But I have an analogy or kind of a comparison I want to make with Felix where it has to do with this study I saw a video of, and the psychologist took some kids. And they separated him into two groups. One, they took an IQ test. Half the kids they told they were smart. Half the kids they told, you know, hey, great job. You worked really hard. Well, yep. What it comes down to is the kids that were told they were smart couldn't handle harder problems, couldn't, you know, manage to take the IQ test again. They did worse. The kids that told, you know, hey, great job. You worked hard, did better. And I think Felix, for years under the previous regime, was told, you're really smart. You've done so great. You are the best.
You're the king.
Yeah, you're the king. You don't need to do anything. And I think he's finally come to the realization that he's going to have to work hard. Yeah, we can put some of that on Felix, but I think Jack Cerenzik and the previous regime did such a bad job of mentoring him and getting in some people that along for it to show him how to work hard, and they did not put a team around him. It's just kind of this, you know, albatross that's just become a bad situation, and I think it all stems from how he was treated, being, you know, from 17.
But how he was treated, Josh, I guess the only flaw I would find in that, and great analogy, and you go to psychology, one of my favorites.
That's a really – you have kids, Josh?
No, it was actually a class we took to start – we're going to start foster care. So I'm actually
that's cool.
We had to do all these classes and everything.
Wow.
So that was
first of all,
it.
That's,
it really stuck
that's a really cool thing for you to do. Second of all, my wife told me about that story when we first had kids, and we've tried really, really hard to praise our kids that way. And we'll find out – I'll give you a longitudinal study to see whether or not it works with our kids in a few years. But I think he's absolutely dead-on accurate when it comes to Felix.
But that is baseball. The greats and the kings get treated that way because of what they do year after year after year. It wasn't just some test.
That's
you didn't
fine.
Just come into a room and say, oh, you know, look at this one game. Look at this one stretch. Look at this one season. Here's a decade that I'm out here spinning it. And because of it, I'm one of the best in the game. Because of it, I get a very rare contract.
You're right about all of that, but it means there's often a shelf life on it. That for a lot of the game's best who are treated that way, who have unbelievable ability and are constantly praised the way Felix was for it, what happens when it starts to fade? Felix isn't a grinder. if Wade LeBlanc has a couple of bad starts and things look like it's the end, he's like, well, all right, I got to go back to, you know, he has the mental skill set to go out and figure out a way to reinvent himself again.
Yep.
Because he's like a cockroach just barely hanging on a baseball his entire career.
Scouting reports. What are scouting reports?
He's been told over and over again, right? If you're Wade LeBlanc, you're not good enough, or thanks for trying really hard. And that's what gets him here and lets him stay. With Felix, the moment it goes away, you're worried. And this is what that study says, is that the kids feel a pressure to live up to how they were told to be smart, or they don't work hard. And in this case, Felix maybe had both. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Mike, who's in Edmonds. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
Put me in the angry camp. I was listening to your interview with Scott Servais last Wednesday. I was out for a run, and when I heard him say he'd never seen the good Felix, I just wanted to stop and scream.
It's true.
You know, Felix, this is the negative side of ego and pride and stubbornness, which are all part of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Felix just couldn't believe that he needed to work. He never endorsed it, and here we are. He never fully understood that the talent alone doesn't get you to the top. It's talent plus hard work. Mm. And it just makes me angry to see talent wasted like that. So I'm glad we have closure, but more than anything, I'm angry at Felix for not exploring his potential. He could have been fantastic. He could have worked the last 3 years on changing his craft, and he chose not to. That's what makes me angry.
Appreciate the phone call, Mike. Let me also grab Mike, who's in Everett, 206-421-3776. Morning, Mike.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, sorry.
Sure.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely one of those guys that just wants the team to win. So I think it's time for Felix to go. I think everyone thinks that way.
How'd you feel last night?
But what was that? Last night, I actually had kind of felt some deja vu, and it just reminded me of a bunch of moments in the past. I know we've seen him before, but watching him last night specifically, it brought me back a little. Trump.
Son of a gun. All right, here's the deal. We are going to take a lot more of your phone calls here in the 8 o'clock hour, 206-421-3776, as we talk through Felix and what happened last night. Hung out and really made to wear it through six innings, gave up 11 runs, three home runs. I mean, the ball's just flying out of the ballpark. By the end of it, it almost just felt like, okay, this is just sort of destiny or something. Here's another one, sorry.
Swing, and this is crushed high out to right field, into the corner. Haniger is by the wall, leaps, and it's gone.
Could have been worse, by the way, if he didn't receive a couple of really nice defensive plays from Cameron Maben. Yeah. I mean, that's a heck of a catch he made, but it's just like every few minutes.
Were you surprised that he wore that last night?
No.
You were not at all surprised?
No, I was not.
Yeah. So if this was a six-game road trip and they were heading to Baltimore and it wasn't, you know, Houston and it wasn't in Oakland and it wasn't, you know, what is to come, do you think that he would have been hung out like that?
Yes.
Hey, you didn't have that much to go to, though. I mean, considering the night before, you really only had Chase and Bradford that hadn't been touched. And, yeah, I mean, that was also just part of it.
The game was toast. You have to figure out a way to win tomorrow. I mean, you're trying to win the series. You know that game is lost. I mean, you're essentially surrendering. And in this case, Felix had the unfortunate reality of everybody having pitched the night before in a 12-inning game.
Yeah, and the unfortunate
reality. Sorry,
dude,
you have to wear it.
The Kyle didn't help him twice.
That's right. But you know what? This also was an opportunity. I think they got to see this as an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yes, it's sad. Yes, it's the end of an era. Yes, Felix was great a long time ago. But this is an opportunity, and everybody got to see on full display and in black and white last night that Felix is no longer Felix Hernandez, that he's a different pitcher. We'll dig a little more into this coming up in 20 minutes at 8 o'clock and sort of what we've learned from the Felix experience. We'll take a lot more of your calls if you want to hang on the line here, 206-421-3776. Before we do it, a little Coors Light's Blue 42 and a great comparison for a rookie Seahawk. Brock will tell you who it is and what it means next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, GU corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready? Right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, lots of football questions here, Brock, before we get back to some of the baseball conversation with Felix. One of the texters here says, heck, Jerry and Scott are culpable here. Do you think Pete and John would run a Felix out there over the last 3 years? They might have if his contract was guaranteed and he was untradeable. I mean, like, lucky for them, they play in a different sport where contracts aren't guaranteed and you can just cut guys and move on. So, yeah, I don't know if that's a fair comparison, but we'll talk some more through it here coming up in about 15 minutes, 206-421-3776. Brock, let's start here. Coors Light's Blue 42. Everybody seems to love Will Dissly. Russell can't stop talking about him. What's the comparison?
Zach Miller. That's a name I continue to hear around that building, and I'm like, well, come on. Zach Miller was huge. I remember Zach Miller's being 7 foot tall, 360 pounds, and carrying like a John Bunyan axe, right? Don't you remember Zach Miller that way?
I think he rode off on blue.
Yes. I said, come on, Zach Miller was a lot bigger. And they're like, what do you think Dissly carries? What do you think he's carrying weight-wise through training camp?
240.
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, 240? 245? No. He's carrying right now 270 pounds.
Whoa.
I was like, what? Rule play? 270? I was watching him out there. He's running around. I was like, yeah. He weighs 270 pounds, which is a testament to really his strength and that Billy Bozeman, just that Montana country strong. And by the way, he's mobile and he's running and he's doing those things. And maybe Russell's praising him because, yeah, he knows how important Zach Miller was back in the day, being that extra guy and being a really just fortified wall on the strong side of that protection. And even in the backfield next to him, that wowed me. That he carries nearly 270 pounds. I started buying that comparison a whole lot more when I started to hear that data.
All right, question number two. This 2018 Seahawks defense is not going to look the way it has in the past, but Pete said yesterday they would be fast.
Yes.
Where is he sacrificing in order to get it?
Yeah, all over the place defensively. It is speed. Barkevious Mingo is lean, man. If Will Dissly's carrying 270 pounds like Zach Miller did, Barkevious Mingo is nowhere near that. I mean, he's listed at 235. He may be less than that. I mean, he is lean and mean. DJ Alexander's 230 pounds. You're going to see backup linebackers all over the field, from Calitro to Warren Long to Emmanuel Beal, even Shaquem Griffin at 225. There has been, a very clear message through both scouting and drafting and you know, even signing these undrafted rookie free agents. It is going to be speed. Speed will be the priority. We're going to get back to running and hitting, like Coach Carroll said yesterday. I've said this to you a number of times out there at the practice field. Like, man, these guys are small. These linebackers are small. Now, it's not like the Tim Ruskell years where they were small and slow. I mean, these guys are fast, but there's certainly been a bit of a sacrifice for some of the girth and the size at the linebacker position more than anywhere else.
I had a couple text messages here. I didn't catch it. John, I think it's Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, I said John Bunyan.
You were probably thinking of John Runyon.
I was thinking of John Runyon.
Because I texted you about him.
You mean there's a John Paul Bunyan?
Yeah, John
Paul. I sent Brock a text about ex-Philadelphia Eagles tackle John
Runyon. It
didn't
come out right. I thought you were going to give me that face. Like, usually when I
didn't hear
screw
it.
Something
I didn't
up,
notice it.
You weren't listening.
No, I was listening because I made a joke about blue.
You were here.
Whoa, easy. I made a blue joke right afterwards. I was fooled, same as you.
So we're both culpable.
John Runyon was on my mind. Yeah. Dude, I'm on your camp
on this.
You're
my boy, Blue.
Dude, I'm your boy. All right, question number three. Right there with you. It's fine.
You're my boy, Blue.
They're ranked number four, according to SI, Brock. Simple question. Are the Huskies national title contenders?
Yes. If 2 years ago they were ahead of schedule, they're on schedule now. Six seniors are going to start defensively. Two senior offensive tackles that are both NFL guys. A senior running back that could have gone and be in a camp and been a fourth-round NFL pick this year. A four-year starter at quarterback, the first in the history of the school. The Huskies, I said 2 years ago, were national title contenders. The Huskies in 2018 are national title contenders. Adam Jude, who covers the team, who follows the team, who's been out every single practice, I asked him the same question. He spun it towards the conference, but he agrees, yes, this team is title worthy.
When you start with a senior quarterback, a senior running back, two offensive tackles who might be first-round picks, and again, with all that talent on the defense, absolutely they're the favorites in the Pac-12, and I'd be stunned if they don't go down to Atlanta and put up a really good fight against Auburn on September 1st.
And when they got in that semifinal game 2 years ago where they were national title contenders, they did so with a loss, right? They were not unblemished in that run. They did so with a loss, were able to overcome it, even with one of the worst non-conference schedules you're going to find. That won't be the case this year. There's going to be a game at Utah week three in conference. There is a game in Atlanta against Auburn week number one. You're just not going to find that argument. So even if they win this conference with one loss, I still think they will find themselves in a semifinal matchup.
Right, there you go. That is today's Coors Light's Blue 42. Brock, I'm embarrassed right there with you, man. Yeah. We don't know our American folklore.
Nope, that's messed up.
And I want to thank the people for texting in. I got it wrong also. The ox's name was not Blue.
Oh, no.
Anybody know what the ox's name was? I mean, I'm not that far off. There's a reason I said it.
Okay.
Anybody remember Paul Bunyan's ox? Lydia? Any info on Paul Bunyan's ox? No?
Quick little aside.
Here's
on
what
Paul
I can
Bunyan.
Tell you.
Hold on. Quick little aside on Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
I was reading my own press clippings way back in the day. I remember Lavelle Edwards. We opened at BYU years ago. And Lavelle Edwards said, oh, that Brock Huard's like Paul Bunyan, man. He just like a big old guy back there throwing axes. That was me.
Well, apparently it is a blue ox.
Ah.
But the blue ox's name was Babe.
Babe.
Babe the blue ox. Man, so I thought it was Blue. But the ox was Blue. There are 10 cities that claim to be Paul Bunyan's birthplace.
Huh.
Bemidji, Minnesota.
Okay.
Ackley, Minnesota.
Yep.
Brainerd, Minnesota.
All right.
Bangor, Maine.
Yeah.
Oscoda, Michigan.
Interesting.
Ossineke, Michigan. Saint Ignace. How do you pronounce that?
We are doing so well.
Well, I always see that. Yeah. How do you pronounce that?
Ignacio.
How do you pronounce that? Ignace.
A role play.
All right.
A role play unit.
Eau Claire, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and Wausau, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Do all of these places have to have difficult to pronounce names?
Sure.
They all just have to. They're hard to pronounce, so they demand Paul Bunyan. They claim him.
That's really bad. Usually, you're totally with me. I need you there. So when I screw something up,
how do you pronounce that? Ignace.
You need to wrinkle your nose or laugh at me.
Could one of the religious people around here help us out here? Saint Ignace, Ignacy. How do you pronounce it?
Spell it.
Ignace.
Oh, that's Ignacy.
Thank you for Ignacying that. All right. Coming up next, we'll get back to your calls, 206-421-3776.
What really is Paul Bunyan's hometown?
And what did you learn last night watching Felix? I think quite a bit. It's next on Brock and Salk.
What weapon do you think that you would be using?
A role play group? What would
John, we're going to let you go. John, you've got to go. Go get some water. That's enough.